Hey, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I'm just popping in to tell you that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Unintentional falls for people over 65 in Vermont constitute a major public health issue. Roughly 25% of all people in this age group will suffer a fall this year. And state officials say this is a major healthcare issue that's largely preventable. And they're working on programs to identify people at risk and to help them reduce the possibility of falling. And with us today to discuss this important issue are Monica Hutt, who is the commissioner of the Department of Disabilities, Aging, and Independent Living, and Tracy Dolan, who is the deputy commissioner at the Department of Health. Great to have you on the program today.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Well, it was almost a year ago, Commissioner, that I sat in your office in Waterbury to discuss issues affecting Vermont's over 65 population. And these are issues that will become even more significant in the coming years because the number of people in this age group is expected to grow by 50% in the next 12 years. And you were explaining to me the importance of programs that are designed to help reduce the incidence of falls among people over 65. And I have to confess that until that meeting, I didn't think I really understood the importance of this issue in Vermont, how many people it affects, and how preventable some of these falls are. So I just want to thank you for bringing it to my attention.
Absolutely.
So how big is this issue, people might wonder? Well, since this program started roughly 2 minutes ago, across the country, 120 people have suffered a serious fall, one every second. So, Monica, as we look at the statistics for Vermont, what is the scope here? How serious an issue is it in Vermont?
Well, I appreciate that you started with the national perspective because Vermont measures itself against national statistics as well. So just to flesh those national statistics out a little bit more, one in four Americans, 65 and older, falls each year. Every 11 seconds, an older person is treated in an emergency department. And every 20 minutes, an older person dies because of a fall-related injury. So the statistics nationally, this is a national issue, are pretty alarming. Vermont is ranked 49th in the country because of our high rate of falls, fall-related injuries, and fall-related deaths. Between, just to look a little bit more at Vermont, between 2010 and 2014, 687 Vermonters died as a result of a fall, and 90% of those folks were Vermonters 65 and older. In that exact same time frame, nearly 10,000 older Vermonters were hospitalized due to falls, and over 100,000 went to local emergency departments. And we know that it's the number one call to our first responders, to any of our EMTs or emergency response systems. So it's a significant issue in Vermont, and certainly there are very Vermont-specific risk factors that contribute to that. But this is something that's absolutely a public health issue, which is why Dale is so grateful for the partnership with the Vermont Department of Health, because we are really seeing it in Vermont as a public health issue, a preventable, treatable issue, but something that we have to raise awareness about.
And when you say Vermont is 49th in the country,
Not to the good.
That's not a good number.
That's not a good number.
Why are we so low?
Again, I think that there are really specific risk factors for Vermonters, and we can go into those a little bit more, but those are everything from the fact that we are a northeastern state. You know, we are a little bit more rural. We have less urban areas, and so community centers are less developed. In terms of walking and easy accessibility, we've got long winters. And that means, first of all, that there's less sun, less vitamin D, and so people's bones are impacted by that. It also means that there is a circular kind of a situation where people are not getting out as much because of the winter. They're trying to keep themselves off that ice, which they deem to be a risk factor. But by staying less active, they're not exercising. They're not increasing their bone strength and their flexibility and their balance. So those are certainly unique to Vermont. We've also got much older housing stock. So many of our homes where people are living, we work so hard to keep people aging at home and in place, and yet we've got some older housing stock that doesn't have the kind of accessibility or the wide hallways, the easy areas to move around in. So that's certainly part of the impact for us. It's kind of unique to Vermont. I think the other major area for Vermont, which I think was a surprise to me, actually, as I was digging into this a little bit more, you know, we do have a high rate of diagnosis of Alzheimer's and dementia, and we know that that increases the risk of falls for people. So a high rate of dementia diagnosis or Alzheimer's diagnosis is going to contribute to more falls. So lots of different risk factors that are unique to Vermont. Probably similar across the Northeast, but certainly Vermont is taking it on the chin when you look at those national statistics.
So, Tracy, tell us how the Vermont Health Department is involved in this issue.
Sure. And so, again, you know, we see this as a public health issue. It affects a broad part of our population. And just to reiterate that falls does not have to be a part of aging, you know. I think sometimes we take a fatalistic view about certain types of events like falls or like chronic conditions that while I'm getting older, that's probably something that's going to happen. It's actually preventable. And so that's something that public health really likes to focus on is the prevention aspect of any large type of issue.
So what you're saying is it's not inevitable.
It's not inevitable. No. There are things that a person can do. There's things a family can do. But there's things that our state can do environmentally to make it easier, particularly for elder people, to stay safe, to stay healthy. And so we're really appreciative of the collaboration we have with the Department of Aging and Independent Living, recognizing that, you know, when we come together, that's part of changing the environment. So it's not just a problem for the Department of Aging and Independent Living, and it's not just a problem for the Department of Health, but really together and with partners. So we coordinate the Falls Free Vermont Coalition, along with Aging and Independent Living. And their mission is to reduce preventable falls and fall-related injury and deaths in older adults. And then we do a variety of things here within Vermont. We're really trying to standardize the screening of older adults in Vermont using the CDC STEADI tool. So that's a screening tool that asks three questions. It asks, have you fallen in the past year? Do you feel unsteady when you're standing or walking? And are you worried about falling? And this tool, pretty simple, three simple questions, mm-hmm. but it can really trigger a lot of great action and a lot of important referrals. And so one of the ways we think about getting at a population, because the older population is a hard-to-reach population, you know. It's not like they're all in a school environment where you can go in through teachers or school districts. The rural nature of Vermont does make it challenging. And so we try to see, okay, who's already touching this population so that we can get this screening tool used. So examples are EMS. I think you learned from Commissioner Hutt that this is a very popular call for EMS, right, when they're able to...
Number one.
The number one call for EMS falls. So when they go out, they use the STEADI tool, ask these questions. Weatherization. We've partnered with weatherization. So last year, weatherization screened over 1,300 homes, and they actually used this tool, and 94% of the people asked actually said yes to one of those questions. And that triggers actually a phone call from the Department of Health. So our chief of injury prevention, Tanya Wells, gives them a call, and we find out what they need. And so we may refer them to exercise classes, very important, the balance, Tai Chi, matter of balance, stepping up, all important programs.
Bone builders.
Or bone builders. Or we may also refer them to see their physician where they can get their vision checked, review their medication, make sure they're taking the right kinds of medication and other types of screens. Or we may refer them to the Vermont Center for Independent Living to help make their home safer. They can help with some home modifications.
And a little later in the program, we're going to look at some of those prevention steps that can be taken around sure. the house that often are the result of many falls. We have a couple of emails I wanted to mention. From Mary, we have, I hope someone mentions the value of Tai Chi.
Yes.
In preventing falls. Instructions are given in the community. I attend sessions held every week at the Peacham Library. The exercises are important in addition to promoting general strength, and a video is available through the Arthritis Foundation. And we also heard from Catherine in Brownsville. There is an entire field of arts and aging that has not yet hit the primetime radar. Dance programs like the one pioneered by organizations like Keros Alive in Minnesota have demonstrated that dancing can be a fun, engaging way to improve balance and confidence and prevent falls.
Well, and let's not forget all the side benefits for both Tai Chi or dancing. I mean, the other thing is that you're connecting with your community. You are not isolated. People are paying attention to you. They know when you don't show up for a class. You know, I think that there is so much about any one of these prevention strategies that is just whole body, whole spirit, whole mind. I just think it's so critical that we don't think about any one of these as just a singular approach. It is good for you. All of those things are good for you, but definitely for balance and steadiness and strength, particularly Tai Chi and dancing, I can see exactly where those would be just really fun ways to stay focused and stay strong. So much of what we do, and I'm so appreciative that Tracy mentioned this, it's this idea that you can age and grow up in age, staying healthy, staying strong, being aware of yourself and what your needs are, and planning for the future that you want to see.
And it can be scary. You know, if you're older and you haven't done an exercise program, this might be literally the first real exercise program you've done. Maybe up until now, your housework, your work around your house has been what you've done, and you've been out of that for a while. But there are programs to help ease you into it. There are a lot of people who have gone from being sedentary to going to Tai Chi 2 and 3 times a week and loving it.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Stephen, who's calling from Guilford. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you. Hi. I have a comment that I've been employed my entire adult life as a forester and logger. And in my line of work, I fall down almost every day. I'm 75 years old, and I still fall down almost every day. And I think that some emphasis should be placed on how to fall correctly so that you don't hurt yourself. People lock up and they break bones. And if you fall well, which sounds kind of silly, you will not hurt yourself. That's all I have to say.
All right, Stephen, thanks very much. Monica, I know I've heard people who say when they've fallen, you know, one thing they do is they stick their arm out and almost inevitably they break their arm. Yeah. Is there a science to falling well, as Stephen mentioned?
I'm sure that there is. I definitely don't have the clinical background to speak to that. I think that he's absolutely right, though. You can learn to fall. I would also suspect that considering Stephen's line of work, that he's stayed very active, very engaged. He's been physically working and weight-bearing all of his life. And so even when he falls, he's got a lot of resilience to that fall. He's created his own set of protective factors, which is also, I'm sure, part of it, in addition to really knowing how to, what is it, sort of tuck and roll? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, and that's what really struck me in his call just now, just that his age and how active he's remaining. And there may be some, you know, tips to falling, but probably the bigger message I'm almost hearing from his call is that staying active and really continuing to be active into your older years.
Absolutely.
I also want to mention that we talked earlier, Tracy was talking about the Falls Free Vermont Coalition, and we have a link to their website at our Vermont Edition site up right now. It is a fabulous resource. It also contains links to many other organizations, so if you're interested in learning more about this subject, check out the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net and click on the Falls Free Vermont link. Got this email from Barbara. I've discovered that at 65, I can still do everything I've always done and safely. The key is slower. Mm-hmm. Balance and strength that were just assumed a few years ago are a bit diminished, but still available. Just pay more attention to what you're doing and do it slower, and you can keep on trucking. Tracy, that sounds like good advice.
That sounds like great advice. I find that even now, 10 years ago, I could turn and pull something from the back of my car. Now I slow down. I open up my door. I open up the back door. I use my knees to bend, you know. And so there's a variety of things that you do, and you just slow it down just a touch.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Corinne, who is calling from West Brookfield. Hi, Corinne. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks. This is a great topic, and I spent some time in Maine between 2006 and 2010, and I was working as a community nurse. And one of the programs that was offered in Maine was something called a Matter of Balance. Mm-hmm. And it was offered to seniors, I don't know, maybe it was 50 on up, and I'm not quite sure how it was funded, whether there was any fee for it, but we went through a various a group of exercises teaching seniors how to strengthen themselves so that they could get up from a chair, that they could get up from a toilet. We also taught them how to fall. So I'm wondering if there's, and I've saved all my literature from that program, which because now I'm back in Vermont and still work as a nurse at Gifford, and wondering, do we have any programs like this in Vermont?
Corinne, just before we answer that question, maybe you could answer another question for us, which is, what's a good way to fall?
Well,
I mean, you mentioned that. Is there something that people should know that if they find themselves at the beginning of a fall, that there are some steps they can take to make the fall less devastating?
There are. You know, I can't really demonstrate it on the radio, but, you know, there is a way to kind of let your body go down. You know, instead we tend to, you know, put out our hands or I have to review, you know, the steps. But, mm-hmm. yes, there are better ways when you know you're going down, you know, what you can do. So it was really a very interesting program and really covered just a lot of things. And a lot of it was strength building where we would just work in a community center with just the chairs that we had available. And we could give seniors and give people, you know, exercises to strengthen those leg muscles and arm muscles. So it didn't require equipment. I mean, maybe, you know, it was, you know, we used to suggest that people use soup cans if they needed to do something for, you know, building up their arms. But basically, we just worked with the chairs that we had. And just gave you know, seniors pointers on, again, mm-hmm. slowing down, you know, being present. Slowing down is a big thing. You know, the shoes that you wear, you know, just there are tips to make us more conscious of what we can do. Because healthcare really is self-care, and we need to carry that forward.
Corinne, thank you very much for your phone call. Monica, we have a lot of communities in Vermont that have different programs set up. I mean, you were mentioning Bone Builders and
yes.
Tai Chi and movement classes and balance classes, and they seem to be becoming very, very popular.
Absolutely. You mentioned the Falls Free Vermont Coalition website, and especially this month, because, of course, September is Falls Awareness Month, but there are events happening all across the state this month specifically, but all of the time through our senior centers. You know, you can find out information about those programs through the Area Agencies on Aging. You know, every community is covered by a AAA, an Area Agency on Aging. We do have a Matter of Balance as one of our evidence-based programs here in Vermont. And again, Area Agencies on Aging or your senior centers are places to look for those classes. And as Tracy said, they are not, they are slow intro classes. Anybody can go at any point in time and start at their own level, at their own pace, and move forward in terms of exercising and using those programs to gain strength and balance. This month in particular, the Vermont chapter of the American Physical Therapy Association is promoting a lot of screening events, and part of their screening is also Tai Chi, looking at some of the Matter of Balance programs. That's called the Stay Steady Vermont Initiative, and that, again, happens very actively through this month. But we've got over 100 sites across the state where you can access Matter of Balance, Bone Builders, Tai Chi kinds of programs. So people should look for those in their local communities, absolutely.
Tracy?
I just wanted to add that when I was talking to Tanya back at the Department of Health, who receives some of these referrals for talking to the elderly people, when they indicate that they have a risk, one of the challenges in the exercise programs is lack of transportation.
Yeah, that's a great
point. Because, you know, and it's so interesting how the challenges come up as the root cause of a variety of issues in public health, and this is one of them, that particularly in our more rural areas where people are isolated, They would like to actually attend some of these programs, and sometimes transportation is an issue. And that really brings us back to the importance of family, other social supports. We have enough people in Vermont to take care of each other, and I think it's really a matter of ensuring, what are you doing for the elderly person in your family or for your neighbor, or are there volunteer opportunities where you have an hour or two every couple of weeks where you might be able to assist someone to either get to a program or to help them shift into this type of lifestyle to be more active.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Today we're on the program, we're looking at unintentional falls and the consequences of those falls. It's a major public health issue in Vermont and one that is preventable. With us today, Tracy Dolan, who is the Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Health, and also Monica Hutt, who is the Commissioner of the Department of Disabilities, Aging, and Independent Living. Your thoughts? 1-800-639-2211. Let's talk to John, who is calling from Colchester. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Appreciate that. Yeah, I have a few pointers that a lot of people don't realize. As you move, you really have to think first. It was mentioned before, move more slowly. But before you make a move, think before you move so that you don't get momentum behind you and then end up falling. Another pointer is a lot of times, especially early in the morning, your balance just isn't that good. Your feet aren't really in touch with sensing the ground below you. And it's important to just touch things. And, you know, walking through the kitchen, just run a finger along the counter, and that helps a whole lot. You can really avoid major issues that way. One more thing is, as people get a little less able to handle things, consider putting rails along commonly traveled paths, especially for at night going to the bathroom, so you can just follow a rail and always have something to hold on to. And these are pointers that I have found very helpful for relatives as they got older.
John, thanks very much for your phone call. We really appreciate it. Let's talk to Kate, who is calling from South Royalton. Hi, Kate. Welcome to the program.
Hi. How are you?
Great. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm okay. I haven't fallen. Almost fell this morning. Actually, I almost fell this morning, and it would have been a very, very bad fall. I realized that afterward. It might have been my last fall. But I fall frequently. I'm 72 years old. And I started falling. My first fall, I tripped over a phone cord. And they sent me, you put out your hand, and that's what broke your wrist. You put out your hand and stopped your fall. So I've never done that since. That's the only pointer that helped me. The next fall, I was pregnant with I had just had two miscarriages, and I was pregnant with, as it turned out, my last child. And I had moved to a new apartment, and the former apartment had carpet on the stairs, and this one didn't, and I didn't think about it. I had socks on, and I fell down the stairs. And I injured my back, but I didn't know. I had a hard time through the pregnancy. My back hurt a lot. I couldn't walk. As soon as the baby was born, I had no more problems for 10 years. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't turn over. It ended up, I finally found a doctor, and I had 9 hours of surgery, and my back is in perfect condition now. But I continue to fall. I fall a lot. My dogs came, and they were so happy to see me. They whopped me on the back of my legs and flipped me over, all the way over. And I ruptured a tendon in my leg and broke my ankle. And the ambulance people came and took me to the hospital. The hospital never rolled me over to find out that I had ruptured my rotator cuff. And that was discovered 5 years later, which has caused me a lot of problems because they can't treat it the same way. So I do fall a lot.
Kate, thank you very much for your phone call. We're very sorry to hear all the injuries that you've suffered. If we have a checklist here of things that happen to people, it seems like most of them have unfortunately happened to Kate. Monica, I mean, one of the things that great checklist at the CDC website to sort of take a look around the house and see if any of these things are present. And as Kate mentioned, stairs, particularly stairs that don't have any kind of rugs on them, or stairs that are uneasy, it's very easy to kind of miss a stair and down you go. So one of the recommendations from the CDC is check out those stairs really carefully. Keep objects off of stairs. You know, people have a habit of, I'm just going to put this book or a bag or something like that on the side of the stair. I'll get it later. And then when they're coming down, there it is. I mean, that's a very simple thing that people can do.
Absolutely. And again, this certainly impacts our older Vermonter population, but this happens to everybody. I'm a bad person for throwing my laundry on the steps, waiting to carry it down to the washing machine, and I have gone down on a kitchen towel more than one time. So yeah, absolutely, stairs, treads. You know, John mentioned the idea of grab bars. If you're building a new home, if you're modifying a home, just put in the anchor so that when you're ready, you can put those grab bars up easily without it being a massive home modification. You know, something very simple is just good lighting. You know, turn on the lights. It is not worth saving a little bit of electricity if you are not seeing where you're going and if you're creating a bigger hazard for yourself. I will admit that my husband got a little obsessed with those night lights that turn on automatically, you know, so you're not even having to flick a switch. But you really can't go into a room in my house in the middle of the night without triggering something that will light up. And it is... It's a little odd, but I got to say, it's a big safety issue. You know, being able to see where you're going is huge for all of us. And so I think some real simple looking around the house, and we talked a little bit about that CDC website, which has a fabulous self-assessment of just your environment at home and some tips and tricks, which are good for everybody. You know, your sleepy teenager in the middle of the night, you as an older person, it's the same kind of issues that can be really, that can create some safeguards.
And the throw rugs, you know, we have a lot of older housing stocks, so there's hardwood floor and not as much carpet in some of these older homes. And so there, people will pull out throw rugs, but they won't be slip resistant. And so it's easy to step and then slip on those too. So there's easy, low-cost things to do, but they do require a little bit of time to walk through and figure out what the hazards are.
Kate even talked about those big dogs that, you know, those enthusiastic Labradors, yes.
And Tracy, we also got a couple of emails talking about, well, I needed to change a light bulb, so I got a chair or a stool out or a small ladder, and then I was a little unstable on that. I mean, that's another one that can really trip you up if you're not thinking about what's happening.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to really pause and think about whether or not climbing on a ladder is the best decision for you. If your balance isn't great, that might not ever be a great decision, and instead you might want to elicit the help of a neighbor. You know, there aren't too many neighbors in Vermont who would say no to somebody elderly calling up and saying, would you mind coming over and helping me with something that requires ladder work? But otherwise, chairs are almost always a bad idea.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Louise in Burlington. Hi, Louise. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
And what's on your mind today?
I'm 72. I live in Burlington. I'm very concerned about falls because my mother died from a fall. She tripped. She had been out all day going to museums. She was healthy and active. She tripped over one of those edging things between the kitchen floor and the living room carpet and fell, bashed in her brain, and died 3 days later.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
The problem seems... Thank you. Me too. The problem seems to me to be a lack of low-cost space in our communities for senior classes, dances... Whatever. Dance halls and gyms are very expensive to maintain. And I think what we need is some kind of grant program to supplement rents for community dance halls and gyms. I was going to a senior cardio fitness class at the Y 3 times a week, but they lost their space, and now I have no class. They rescheduled it to 8 o'clock in the morning, but most seniors have sleep difficulties, and 8 o'clock in the morning does not work. So anyway, I think we need some way to find more space and make it available for senior classes.
Louise, thank you very much for your phone call. Monica, when we did a series about a year ago about older Vermonters and how this generation, baby boom going through retirement, is different than previous generations, Louise kind of touched on it, and we're seeing communities respond to the needs of folks wanting to stay active in all the different types of programs. Are we seeing this starting to spread out across Vermont?
I think we are, although I think, you know, Louise raises some really salient and important points that I'm not sure that I necessarily thought about in the context that she framed them. So I'm really appreciative of that. I think that communities are stepping up and trying to be more responsive to a very different older population than what we saw 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 20 years ago even. I think that the needs for older Vermonters are different than they used to be. It's a tall order to keep pace with. I know, in terms of urban planning and thinking about changes that are happening in different communities, trying to make sure that they are reaching out and getting consultation from the Vermont Department of Health, from regional planning commissions. You know, our department is willing to talk with anybody that wants to talk about accessibility issues. So I think that there's an infrastructure and building component to making communities more accessible, you know, recognizing that as we make livable communities, those communities are livable for everybody, from young families and little kids to older Vermonters. But I really do think that Louise hit on this very specific issue around where is the space for those kinds of classes, are they scheduled at the times where older Vermonters are more likely to take advantage of them. I think that that's really important. I know our senior centers work extraordinarily hard to make that possible, and they are self-sustaining. They're looking for funding from towns and municipalities and donations and fundraising. So I think really paying attention to that is something that we can think about how to do a little bit differently.
And some schools have been opening up their gymnasiums for walking in the evenings, particularly in the winter. You know, in a more urban area, some older people might go to malls. And if you go to a mall, you'll see people just walking loops. And I know some schools, particularly in the more rural areas, do open up their gymnasiums at night to allow for some activity there. But it's not enough. No. I think that is a challenge, again, of our dispersion of our population, and the rural nature makes it even more challenging.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Today we're looking at a major public health issue in Vermont, the consequences of falling and what you can do to prevent that from happening. With us today, Monica Hutt, who is the Commissioner of the Department of Disabilities, Aging, and Independent Living, and Tracy Dolan, who is the Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Health. Let's talk to Bob, who's calling from Berlin. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you. I'm in my late 60s. I've had some concerns about falling. When I was in my 20s, I studied yoga and dance. And in my 30s, I studied physical comedy. So we spent a lot of time learning how to fall. And my teacher, Carlo Mazzoni Clemente from Italy, always said, the ground is your friend. And I think about that periodically. And I've recently started getting down on the floor and rolling around on the floor and then getting back up again. And I think that's a great way to learn how to fall. Start out on the floor, and you'd be amazed. It's a great exercise. It feels really, really good.
Bob, that's a great idea. Great suggestion. Thank you for your phone call. We got this email from David in Bolton Landing, New York. I have aging parents and would be interested in knowing if there are any groups or services that provide an in-house risk assessment. Monica, is that done? Do people go in-house, or do they really need to go to a community center? Or are there some things that people can do for a self-assessment?
Well, there's certainly self-assessments, and I was playing this morning on the CDC website. around falls prevention, and they do have a very simple self-assessment that you can do of your own space or that somebody could do with some aging parents. In terms of in-house assessments, I know that, let me think. Tracy, I'm wondering, do you have some thoughts about that?
Well, certainly if you get a visit from the weatherization energy coach, they do ask you a few questions. But in terms of calling up to get an in-house assessment, you can certainly go to your physician and they'll talk you through some of the points. And then if EMS is called because you have a fall, they can help kind of look around with you and often provide some tips. But I'm not sure there's a service where you call a number. Maybe reaching out to the AAAs and asking, they may know something about a service in their particular area, area aging.
This would be a great this would be something, you know, harkening back to what Tracy talked about in terms of volunteerism in communities. Can you imagine, you know, getting, you know, training a cadre of people that could do something like that in communities as a part of just a civic engagement and public service? That would be wonderful. It's a great idea.
Let's talk to Florence, who's calling from Manchester Center. Hi, Florence. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you. I have one particular hint, I think, that would help people. All of your suggestions are wonderful, but sometimes you find yourself falling. You're in the middle of a fall, or you feel that you're losing your balance. And I think one tendency is to try to stop the fall in some way. And I feel that just the opposite is true, is just think, relax, turn yourself into a rag doll, and let it go. And even though you may scrape yourself or bump yourself, you're not as apt to break bones as if you put an arm out or a leg to try to stop the fall. That's my suggestion.
All right, Florence, thank you very much. You know, Monica, sometimes, and I know this has happened to me in the last couple of years, when there's a lot of ice on the ground, sometimes you don't see it coming. All of a sudden, woo, your feet just go out from under you and you have no time to react. So maybe that's what Florence is talking about. It's not like you're tightening up because you know you're falling because, whammo, you didn't see it coming.
It's true. And I think that there's a real fear, and this is the prevention aspect of it. The more that you can address the anxiety and the fear of falling, the more likely you are to relax in that moment, because it's hard to control that instinct. But if you're fearful, if you feel as if you're walking unsteadily or you don't have the kind of strength that you need to move around, you know, if you think that there's a hazardous sort of environment, whether that's your own home or the ice, you know, that fear also really contributes to tension. And so whatever you can do to reduce that fear, making sure that there's some really simple things. You know, are your eyeglasses getting checked regularly? Is your vision accurate? Do you have the right lighting? Is your home environment safe? Are you getting your driveway plowed in the winter? Is your sidewalk, you know, your walkway free of ice? There are so many things to do in advance. But every single caller, I think, has hearkened back to this idea of self-awareness. And that's partly your physical self-awareness, but it's also planning ahead and recognizing that there are going to be hazards. And the more that you can plan and think about them in advance, the more likely you are to disarm them and to create a much more fluid situation when you do fall.
In terms of the winter, I know a lot of people, as winter approaches, they get yak tracks, you know, the kinds of spikes you can put on the bottom of your shoes, but those can be expensive. My colleague Karen has a pair of running shoes she uses in the winter, and she screws drywall screws right into the bottom of her shoes. They're about 10 or 20 cents a screw, and she actually finds them excellent on the ice. So looking for cheap or low-cost ways to have a safer environment and start wearing those things early, because you can't always tell. The black ice comes quickly.
Yeah, some of our AAAs were actually handing those out as part of a prevention effort last winter, and I'm not sure whether or not that will happen again this winter, but it's exactly that. How do you make sure that you're being safe?
Let's talk to Susan, who's calling from Concord. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you. I am calling with two comments for people who want to age in their homes. I've discovered many Meals on Wheels volunteers are older, and they must deal with the icy driveways, and they're concerned about falling themselves. And I'm wondering if the local fire departments could be engaged in keeping the driveways ice-free for homebound elderly people. And if that meal doesn't get delivered, it increases both their hunger and their social isolation. And secondly, Vermont has a very good home share program for people who would like to stay in homes. And aside from increasing the socialization, it would also increase the safety of somebody who's living at home alone, afraid of falling. That's it. Thank you.
All right. Susan, thanks very much for your ideas.
Great ideas. Again, I'm excited about the energy and the enthusiasm out there, and people are really hitting on all of the points that Tracy and I would have made anyway. So really, we didn't need to be here. You could have just had a call-in show. I think that the emphasis and the underlining of the idea that isolation and addressing kind of community, something like home share, which you know, we've got two different home share programs in Vermont, and they are extraordinary, absolutely. All of these protective factors come together to create safety for Vermonters. Home delivered meals, having somebody lay eyes on you and know that you're well and safe each and every day is a huge part of the work that we do to reduce isolation, in addition to nutrition, in addition to looking to make sure that people are safe in their homes. So absolutely that configuration of every single element coming together is how Vermont addresses all of these issues.
Yeah, and I think everyone has a role at the individual level, the awareness, the family level, the support, the community level, and then also at the state level, you know, what are our policies around ensuring that our communities are as friendly for walking and as supportive to all of our citizens as possible.
Let's see if we can get a quick call in from Peter in Cornwall. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. Thanks. I almost got all my emails done here. I've had three back surgeries, a lot of nerve damage in my lower back and my right leg. And so, you know, through the rehab process, they had various pieces of equipment, wheelchairs, walkers, canes. But I found the best piece of equipment for steadying myself on uneven ground and on longer walks was a staff. A stick comes to about the chin, and it's really so much more effective than a cane because you can get both hands on it and brace yourself in any kind of direction. And with a good rubber tip on the end, you have lots of traction, and I've used them extensively for the last 10 years.
Peter, that's a great suggestion. We really appreciate you calling in on that. That's really all the time we have for our program today, but we heard some great ideas from people. And if they're interested in learning more about it, again, the Falls Free Vermont Coalition website is at our Vermont Edition site. So it's a fabulous resource and people can learn about it. Many thanks to our guest today for a wonderful discussion, Commissioner Monica Hutt, also Deputy Commissioner Tracy Dolan. Thank you very much for being on the program.
Thanks for having us.